Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is AJ Kirsch, a.k.a. Grossest Joe Brody.
And this is Follow Bob.
This is Alita.
This is Halston Bobby.
This is Darewolf PJ Black.
This is Kathy Campanelli.
This is Tom Garland. That's right, comedian Tom Garland from the movie Headstrong with Rob Van Dam. And right now, you are listening to the
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys podcast. Like, share, and subscribe. And if you don't, you can catch me outside. How about that?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
Is it time for wrestling talk?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
It's time for my wrestling talk.
Don't bother me. It's time for wrestling talk.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents Wrestling Talk.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got all the bad boys here with me. And we're happy to have all of you all with us. It's time for Wrestling Talk. We're going to go through all of the shows this past week. We'll even throw in a little MMA at the end just to kind of see what's been going on. Let's start off with King Lucky's favorite of all the wrestling shows, WWE Raw. And this Monday night, it was all about championships, right? So, I don't know. What's your take, King Lucky, on this week's Raw? There was you know, was you happy with what you saw with these title shots, or did you enjoy Dolph Ziggler interrupting Drew McIntyre? Extreme Rules main event teased. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I will say I did enjoy Raw. Usually Wednesday is the better night of wrestling overall.
Mm-hmm.
But Dolph Ziggler coming out, you know, after making his debut back again on Raw. Also, we found out as part of that glorious Mr. Robert Roode is going to be coming back to Monday Night Raw, mm-hmm. which I'm torn on because if Vince is calling all the shots there, I'm scared for him because he's a great talent.
You're scared for the 42-year-old man?
Yeah, I'm scared for the 42-year-old man. But he had such an incredible run in NXT, you know, and
mm-hmm.
yeah. So anyway, elsewhere, I found it pretty interesting that Charlotte is going to be out now for a couple of weeks. It's been rumored that it's some surgery. Of course, the on TV angle was Nia Jax took her out, so you can set some stuff up for the future there.
And credible at that.
Yeah.
And incredible, yeah.
Nia Jax injuring somebody.
Right,
still 0 days without any injury to any other competitor.
Oh, my God. Dude, that would be an awesome graphic for us to put up.
Days without an incident?
Yeah. Nia Jax.
Call up safety days.
But also, too, the Randy Orton legend killer stuff coming back. Whoa. I feel like you know, Edge had a good promo, but this Randy Orton stuff is just on another level. To bring it back was actually very smart, but that was kind of like my highlight for the show. So overall, I thought it was a good show.
Sin City Steve, I mean, what's your take, man? Are you finally happy that Tozawa's getting some love now?
with his ninjas gimmick,
yeah, and the 24/7.
Hey man, he's got some gold. At least now,
yeah.
You know, if he's ever on NXT and they paint him as undefeated, then I mean, you yeah. know, again, continuity.
Yeah.
Jeez, who knew that? You know, that it would just take Akira Tozawa reforming a branch of the Yakuza, and you know. Just going mm-hmm. crazy with that.
Yeah.
And having a bunch of fucking ninjas. Are we in a B movie?
we talk about it's a sequel to Trouble in Little China.
Right? Exactly.
Oh, the man who loves the company that has a
bunch brother, what I don't mistake it. It's mindless fun. So, I mean, you just have to watch it and just know that you don't set a very high bar. That's it.
Well, they're self-aware. So, I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, wrestling's always self-aware.
Exactly.
I mean, unless you're, like, in the smart zone. I mean, it could be borderline real.
Ain't nothing wrong with being Smarcavelli, baby.
Until you go to Smarcavelli.
Smarkville.
You never go full smark.
Yep, never go full smark. Finally, someone else gets muted.
Well, let me go to you, Simon Street. Women's Tag Team Championship, the Iconics versus the Golden Role Models, Bayley and Sasha. What's your take, man? You like enjoy that?
Becky Dose Belts.
Dose Belts, Becky, yes. Belts.
Yeah. I thought it was a great match. Once again, Sasha continues to go over it by winning these matches. I do like what they teased at the end of that. It sounded like Sasha was serving up for everybody. That's, you know, and she did say it. I feel jealous that you have two belts and I want the same thing. And then all of a sudden, swerve, I want the women's Raw Championship, Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
I like this angle because at the end of the day, if it goes right and they put Sasha over, you have basically holding every title but the NXT Women's Championship.
All right, that's enough.
Wow.
Dang.
God damn. I wish I could mute your ass.
I'm just saying, you just basically went and just recapped a whole segment of Raw for no reason.
Why would it not?
They're just going, simply, Sasha Banks going for that Raw championship, fucking golden.
Well, why would I do that? I'm not you. I'm Simon Street.
I know. You're Simon Street who makes the show 5 hours long.
But I do it purposely because it just pisses you the fuck off.
I know. Us old
love you. Arrest. Love you.
Well, so are you done, Street? Is that all you enjoyed?
No, that's really before I was muted. That's all I was going to say. I really like that angle. Okay. I'm interested to see what they do. Period.
Yeah.
With a T. Michaels.
Well, what about you, Matt? Did you enjoy anything from Raw that stood out? That you know, this championships that took place, Champion Monday Night. Anything stood out?
Nope, we're good.
Wow.
I mean, that
I don't want to be told I'm the guy who's, you know, making the show longer.
That's with all due respect, though. That's really what Raw deserves.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's jump over to Impact Wrestling. And King Lucky, I'll let you go ahead and give your analysis with that. I will tell you, let me ask you this, King Lucky. You, Tasha Steelz, are you liking what you see coming from her, you know, being a newbie out there?
I like the tandem with her and Kira Hogan. I think that pairing was a good pairing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how she progresses, and I'm sure one of them will turn on each other in the future, which will create kind of like a very good feud for them. But, yeah, I like what I'm seeing from her.
Yeah, I do, too. Well, what's your take on the rest of the show, man? Anything that stood out to you there?
Well, I mean, the company kind of blew up since, you know.
Right, yeah.
You know, four people were gone. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they work towards Slammiversary with that match going from, like, a five-way to, like, you know, barely a one-on-one match.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Bay versus Willie Mack should be good. They keep teasing different people to come in. So, you know, they're in a very peculiar place right now. So we'll see what happens this week of TV. Because like we talked about, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they now rewrite all this stuff that they already have in the can.
Yeah. Did anybody else happen to watch Impact? Simon, Sin City, or Matt Michaels?
I don't have access.
No. I honestly, Impact, I rely on you for all of my Impact news.
Okay.
The product is getting better.
It Impact is. On Impact, bro. I live for it every week.
Impact on Impact.
I enjoyed. I would just say the one thing I enjoyed was the Taya Valkyrie match with Susie against Susie. Oh, yeah. So, and I'm a Susie fan. So, I like Susie more than Soo-Yeon. So, but man, that was actually a good match, and so I enjoyed that. But yeah, you could definitely see the difference on this week's shows since everything had had blew up from the week. But I mean, overall, I still think they are. Doing the best they can. Impact be going through it, man. They really do. But the
struggle is real.
Yeah, it really is.
I still maintain that at some point you'll have like these smaller companies, and Impact is actually a little bit larger than some of the others, but they need to create a partnership with another company to help, you know, add some more life into them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't explain, Lucky.
Because I know, because Michael's already...
You'll make the show go too long. He has to meet his bedtime.
Sorry, it's past 6 o'clock.
The golden age goes to bed at 10 o'clock.
Damn.
The golden age.
But the truth of the matter is that you were just saying a really stupid fucking thing. I hate when you say, well, you know what? They need to put them together with these guys. Good.
Well, how's it stupid? Oh, the partnership between ROH and TNA or NWA has been great.
Yeah. Wonderful. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that rely on your own fucking company to do shit right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
You're basically saying, hey, take a rub from this company's success.
Well, let me ask y'all this. Since you've heard about Tessa Blanchard and all, what's you guys, what do you think's happening here? I mean, I know Impact is, you know, now they're out of a champion, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't know what happened, but it just seems kind of weird that she just kind of disappeared. And I mean, I thought I had read somewhere about that, and I don't really search, but I was going through strolling, and it said something about WWE was interested in her and sending fillers out. And I don't know. I mean,
obviously,
you know.
Well, I mean, you look at it, there's definitely going to be a bidding war for her services. We don't know all the details of what happened with her and Impact, but there will be a bidding war. Naturally, you would think she would go to AEW, whose women's division is kind of soft.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad works there. You know, she'd probably get a long-term deal, 3 years, you know, which seems to be the sweet spot for most people. And then you look at what WWE could offer, you know. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what would happen if you look at the track history of what they've done with people. So I think ultimately what I'd love to see her in WWE, and, you know, there's a lot of great matches there. I think she ends up with AEW.
Overall, is it just bad business? And I'm just curious what your thought is. Is it just bad business to the kind of the way that it seemed like that she decided to leave? It just doesn't seem like it's just smart. Why not do it in a more professional manner? I mean, is I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's a smart move.
Well, we don't know all the details.
I understand that.
I mean, but supposedly all that she had to do was send out two promos.
Right.
Didn't even have to go and compete. Just send out two promos, and she didn't even do that.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you're another wrestling company, I guess you're a hot name, but do you not look at, I mean, I guess for us little folks with jobs, I mean, if we leave a company like that, you know, and that word got out to the new company that's interested in, they're going to probably be like, I don't think I want to have that person work for me if they, you know, no 2 weeks. They just, I'm just not showing up no more. I'm out. I mean, why would not WWE or AEW look at the way she left as saying, well, does that say something about a person? I'm just curious. I'm just throwing it out there.
But Impact, sure. The question for you is, in a company's eyes, how much money are you, DJ Impact, making them?
Mm-hmm. I got it. Right, yeah.
Really, when we look at it from, you know, a work perspective of how things work, it's always we're lucky that we're getting paid.
You know, yeah. No, I feel you. Right? Yeah.
So I think that's one of the biggest factors. With everything going on, I just think that it's perfect time to just stay off the radar.
Yeah.
If I'm her, I don't sign anything yet.
I wouldn't sign nothing. Because if you think about it, and I agree with you, Michaels, because if you do sign something, it's still an unideal time, not only for who you are and what your brand is, right? I mean, you're not going to get the exposure you would regularly, routinely get. And Tessa's a hot ticket, plain and simple, even to the point to where I'll personally say, in my opinion, I don't want WWE even fucking touching her because I don't trust them fuckers.
Exactly.
I don't trust them. They will fuck that shit up, and that's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm a professional. I don't trust them with it. But, you know, even so, why not maximize as much attention as you can? Mm-hmm. Wait until some of this COVID stuff chills out.
Yeah. I got you.
She's dominant. She's dominant. I watch her.
Tony Khan will cut that check for Jericho money for her.
Well, that's true.
She's going to AEW. See you on TNT.
At least she'd look better in the leather pants.
Oh,
Chris,
Jesus Christ.
A little tough lately in the. Yeah, I think it's time.
You've been drinking too much of the bubbly. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's time for
carbs.
It's khaki time for Mr. Jericho.
Let me also ask you guys this too. Then, I mean, I'm not the show host, but I do have a question.
At least you finally admit that.
Yeah. Does she go back to wrestling men wherever she signs with?
Anyway. I'm going to be honest with you. That was more of a shocker when she was wrestling men for the company she was with. They had to work extra hard at trying to make that believable, I feel. Because that's nothing that's unusual for MLW. That's nothing that's unusual for other companies, but not here in the States. And I could be wrong.
One thing that you just by default do when you move somebody out of their main bracket is that you invalidate any of the other competitors that are in that bracket, be it weight bracket, be it gender bracket, be whatever it is. It invalidates the people that are in that particular bracket without even, you know, having her go in and feud with anybody as part of that. Now, could I see her obviously, you know, having a big marquee match at a major pay-per-view and they have, you know, a male name versus Tessa? Yeah, I could definitely see that. But it would be a one-off kind of a thing. It wouldn't be who's she taking on this week? That kind of thing.
Let me ask you guys one more thing about Tessa and we'll move on. Being that she had some allegations of racism and bullying, I don't know how that all came out. It looked like it just kind of disappeared. But if there was something there and one of these companies are fighting for her because of the amount of money she can bring to them, is there a chance that this couldn't come back up and this become a big thing again? Like, why would you be interested in someone who had this type of allegations going in? We always wonder why some of these things is not seen from the beginning, and then when they come out, it's like, wow, I can't believe this person did this or said it. Well, right now we got allegations of bullying and racism. I don't know. I mean, is it smart for someone to be interested in her? I'm just throwing it out there. Anybody want to touch that skillet?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking from a dollars and cents perspective,
yeah. Okay.
For sure. And realistically, I mean, you know, it can be one of those things where they can just say, oh, she's taking sensitivity training.
Okay.
I mean, that's the blanket kind of rehab cover. They're just taking sensitivity training. Basically, it means that they're paying her two weeks to stay at home and not do anything. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Let's move over to WWE NXT. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing, Matt Michaels and you, King Lucky, because I know one of you like one of the guests, the other one hate. I got to tell you, I think I'm ready to be sold on Cameron Grimes. I really am.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. He is really.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Listen, he's entertaining.
You're going to drink the Kool-Aid, bro.
Listen, he has, it's just from how we start, and even if you just, it just seems like he's entertaining. It don't seem like he's bringing a whole lot, but what he is bringing is entertaining. That what I find very interesting in him, and I think I'm sold on it. And I'm saying, you know, for him to be champion, whatever. I mean, that to be a discussion later. But for what he's doing now, I think he's doing a hell of a job.
You know what he reminds me of?
Yeah,
The Miz back in the day when he was going back and forth for Johnson, or before he won the WWE title.
Yeah,
that's how Miz was operating his gimmick. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
Well, I hear you. But the way he talks, the way he looks, it's all fitting. It's perfect, and so I don't know, King Lucky. You might have to finally give this guy a chance. I know you're not ready, but it was him and Damian
Lucky
Priest.
Not prepared.
He's not ready.
We're Damian, gonna get him a hat.
The fact that he went over on Damian Priest
convincingly.
Yeah.
But look at the way he went over on it, though. I would rather him go over that way. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather him go over that way than be like a straight, even, clean match over Damian Priest. Yeah. I would have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's certified heel. Come on. That's the way he's supposed to win.
And nobody's pointing out the fact that Priest went face.
Yeah, I was trying to pick up on that too.
Yeah.
Wasn't that strange? It's like, how's he a face?
That's true.
He's going to be that new hybrid.
I guess
hybrid
he's a tweener.
Face. Yeah, that's like that new hybrid they have. Anti-hero.
They can be a baby face one week and a heel the next, just like half the WWE main roster.
Dang, Steve.
Speaking of which, Big Show came back.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that with Raw, but whatever.
That's right.
He's very angry, unlike his persona on Netflix.
What the shit?
Okay, so let's get into it. NXT, what stood out for you guys for that show? Anything?
Well, the triple threat was pretty good.
Okay.
I liked it a lot. And I know I'm probably gonna get battered for saying this, but I would have rather seen the title move on to Finn Balor because he's on an upward trajectory and he needs it. And I don't like hold on. He's already a main man. I don't wanna see two belts tied up in the same angle.
You're not going to.
Yeah.
When you're not going to.
You're not.
I called the shit.
Controversy City.
Yeah. What they're going to do is obviously now they're going to have Keith Lee and Adam Cole, and who has had some interaction with both of those men in recent weeks on NXT?
Mike Tyson.
TikTok.
Yeah.
Tyson.
Perfect setup.
But I thought that match was really good. I also am interested to see where they're going with Thatcher. And these promos that he's been doing the last couple of weeks, like, it's very dark.
I've got to ask Lucky, what are you thinking about what they're doing with Thatcher? Because realistically, like, I would just assume that Thatcher is not your type of, like, professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
He's not flashy. He's just busy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, I do like him. I just. Okay. It's interesting to see where they're going with this. You know, they get the guys in the ring and, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I do like him, however. And I thought that the stuff that they did with him and Riddle was actually really good, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm very invested in to see what happens with them.
Yeah, being an MMA guy, I would think that you would absolutely love what Tim Thatcher can bring. So
yeah,
I'm definitely interested to hear your take on him as things come on.
And at the same time, you don't like Cameron Grimes. What the?
I know, right? I can't get into it.
Time Cameron Grimes.
And I'm the not, hair.
You know what? Hair? I like hillbillies. Let me say this: I like hillbillies that are entertaining.
I can just see it now. Sure, I like hillbillies.
You can't say that anymore.
Can't say that anymore.
You need sensitivity training.
All right, I got sensitivity training. I won't be on the show next week. I'll be going to sensitivity training.
Put you in a room filled with a whole bunch of Care Bears and Think First cards all over.
Hashtag cancel culture.
Yeah, I just can't. I don't know.
We at Vegas Bad Boys apologize for the remarks of King Lucky. We're sending him to sensitivity training starting immediately. The show will continue.
And we're also extending Smarkville to all parts of the Appalachian Mountains as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
So obviously the show, for all intents and purposes, was mostly about the three-way. So
right.
That three-way was without a doubt the best match on either show on Wednesday. NXT, props to NXT. They didn't just beat AEW in the ratings, they beat the shit out of them. They ended up beating them by about 150,000 homes. So huge win this week for NXT. So
yeah, I will say too that I am excited for the now you can't call it a pay-per-view, but the show they're gonna do this week, the Great American Bash.
Yeah,
Sasha Banks versus Io Shirai, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then you got the Fatal 4-Way. So they've got some good stuff coming up this week. And I'll kick it back to you, DJ Impact.
Cool. I mean, Simon Street.
Real quick, you mean the Great American Bash, a.k.a. the counter-programming to Fighter Fest.
Basically.
Okay. Just so we're clear on that, that's the only reason why
we're doing it.
Is because Fighter Fest just so happens to be going on the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just like what the Great American Bash will be.
Right.
I'll be fucking dipped in shit.
Come on, dude. Great American Bash is being done because of the fact the 4th of July is right before it.
Oh, that's a good point.
I know it's a good point because
I don't know what Sin City's doing behind it, but that's a good point.
So let's just put it like this: the Great American Bash is not necessarily counter programming. However, having a pay per view level event the next 2 weeks, whatever the name would have been, can be considered counter programming. Just saying,
or maybe very American. And patriotic to the point where they needed two fucking whole nights to celebrate this great country. You anti-American scumbag.
Wow.
Michaels, are your eyes brown? Because you, sir, are full of shit.
Hey, Steve, you know what they say.
These cities are red, white, and blue.
Right.
That's awesome.
He hit me with the Uno reverse card, by the way.
Yeah.
That was nice. That was a good one.
Asshole.
Did y'all, Simon or Matt, did y'all want to add anything to NXT at all?
There's really not much to add. It was a great show. I enjoyed it. I wanted to talk about AEW, but I'll wait my turn.
Hey, real quick, the Undisputed Era vignette was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah, he finally realized.
Finally Roddy looks over at the therapist, and it just so happens to be Kyle O'Reilly, who's rocking a friggin' awesome picturesque beard.
Yeah.
They're like awesome. A boys club. I love it.
Awesome.
That's right. He was working on a movie.
They're like Stand By Me without the tragic ending.
Yes.
And I would also say that I don't like the treatment of what's happening to Robert Stone. All right? Don't come
he
on.
Lost his shoe. That's a travesty, man.
Come on, Rhea. Come on.
Hey, I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
it's absolutely wonderful.
I'm all about
but isn't that the match set up, though, that if Rhea loses, she mm-hmm. has to join
yep.
the Robert Stone. That's mm-hmm. going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That means she is going to lose some kind of way.
Yeah.
I know it.
She's going to lose the match.
She have to. If they don't pull it, then
they're why? Fucking idiots, and they're yep. just WWE typical.
Easy, Simon Street. Easy.
Easy my ass.
Okay.
If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
And if it has buck teeth, it's a fucking beaver.
All right. Oh, my Lord. He went there. Okay.
Sometimes you just got to call a beaver beaver. Beaver, beaver. Continuity.
There you go. Make a shirt.
AEW. All right, let's get on to that. And you got the everything leading up to Fighters Fest. I want to ask you a question, Sin City, going back to the numbers, though. Does it not seem, though, that these numbers are not really getting better or looking good for AEW?
Well, so the thing that I'll mention is that they did make an announcement this prior to the show this week that their world champion, in case you weren't aware, John Moxley, their world champion.
Yeah.
You know, he would not be on the show because mm-hmm. he was self-quarantining because he came into contact with somebody that has COVID, obviously Renee. So as a result,
okay.
when you don't have your world champion on your show, it's been announced that QT Marshall and other people
sure.
are not going to be on the show as well. Now, QT Marshall, whether that moved one person to watch the show or not, I don't know. But they established a narrative right from the beginning that the roster wasn't going to be there in full. So they were their own worst enemy with that, in my opinion. Hmm. Personally, I would have not announced Moxley as not being on this show until while a show's going on.
I just thought that like AEW fans was just hardcore on the product. Doesn't matter if Moxley shows up or not. I mean, they just love the product. So it's interesting to hear that because he wasn't on there, some of their fans decided, well, I'm just not going to watch. I mean, maybe we can assume those aren't the really...
a lot of fans.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think that was the only problem. That was the only problem.
There has to have been something else.
They front-loaded their show.
It's
summertime.
Exactly. The other thing that I'll mention is this, mm-hmm. is that, you know, at the end of the day, what's going to happen is we need to look at how the ratings are next week and see if they can rebound from this retracement. If mm-hmm. they can't, and, you know, the numbers even rise a little bit from where they are this week, then we know that there's, you know, a serious issue. But it all comes down to if they can blast past the, you know, the retracement steps, then we should be fine going forward. But I see it as an anomaly more than anything.
It's summer, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should expect that the numbers are going to go down, especially because people were locked up.
Yeah.
And now, as restrictions have gotten restricted, people are, you know, going out more.
Yeah.
So, and on top of that,
even on a Wednesday night.
Well, it's summertime. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
people go out to the pool. They go out different things. Yeah,
I'm sorry, we don't. Other people don't just drop their kids off in another state for the summer.
I get that,
but I'm a little jealous. I wish I could do that.
But
they have to spend time with the kids all summer.
But let me ask you guys,
grayer than anything.
Let me ask this. Let me ask you guys this though, if a show is being recorded, and I'm assuming AEW fans, even if they're not watching it as it's happening, if it's being recorded, then it's being counted, right? So why should that be an excuse, the fact that they're out, that they're still not being counted for watching the show? They're going to watch it if they're watching it. Or is that not true? They're not being counted if it's DVR? I thought it's being counted.
It's
I don't know.
It is counted.
It is counted.
It is counted.
Yeah. So I don't see how that's being an excuse, the fact that they're out in the summer. If they're recording it, then, you know, it's being – in other words, they're not doing – they're ignoring it. That doesn't seem right is what I'm saying. But I hear it.
I don't think that was the only problem with the show. And I could be wrong. Maybe it's just me.
Go ahead. What you got?
But I felt like the last segment was out of place. I felt like Jericho and Orange Cassidy should not been the last part of the show. And I get that traditionally they felt maybe they needed to do that, mm-hmm. but I felt like it would have been better at the middle and then put something. And again, it's tough to say, because if you look at everything on that whole show, what would you have put at the end then? I don't know.
But the smartest, you got to remember the smartest thing about why you have Orange Cassidy going against Jericho anyway is because Orange Cassidy is your draw right now.
Yeah.
So putting them last in any segments should be pulling the highest numbers for them.
So let me ask you a question. Do you feel like they could have put in a little bit more stock into that, maybe, to some degree? Because I felt it a little bit lacking. But again, that's just my opinion. I don't know if that's the consensus of everybody. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately, sorry, out of focus there. The thing is, Cassidy has been their number one ratings draw for weeks. And that's why he's in the position that he's in, quite honestly, is because he's been identified as, you know, moving the meter. Mm-hmm. So it's did they release the quarter hour rankings? I didn't even see them.
I haven't seen those either.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I really would be curious to hear what the quarter hour ranking was for that final segment. Mm-hmm. I personally didn't have a real big problem with the way that the show ended. I thought that it added some legitimacy to Orange Cassidy, especially because a lot of people still view him as strictly a comedy performer.
Yeah. That's because they don't know nothing about him. That's the problem.
Right.
Before he got to AEW.
Exactly. But I mean, regardless, like, he's been doing comedy for years, but I think it's really beneficial what they've been doing by having, you know, him get into Jericho and, you know, leaving him, you know, as Orange was bleeding, but he left Jericho busted through a table. So, I mean, again, you're building this character and you're adding legitimacy. So
yeah, that's true. I just felt like it was missing something. I mean, the only thing that really excited me. Well, there was a crowd that they went through, but yes, well, in that sense, it could have been a real crowd.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Though. Yeah.
I do like the development of Sheeta. I like how she's getting more aggressive as weeks go along, because whenever she first won the AEW Women's title, I felt she was a little fluffy. Mm-hmm. In my perspective, and you know, I've seen her career before, and she can be a little ruthless. So I like that she's going that direction, and I hope they keep with it.
Yeah, I agree entirely.
Yeah, I thought the Wardlow Luchasaurus match was wild. I thought it was pretty good.
Tossing hobbits in the air like you just don't care.
And then when he did the shooting star off the stage, I was like, oh. But he hit it, and it was a very entertaining match. So it was cool to see two of their big guys going, after it in that way. Lucha Bros came back.
Can you do the sign with your hand? I knew you were going to do it. I knew you were going to do it. You're so predictable.
Michaels is yawning for the Lucha Bros. AEW, like we talked about before, has the strongest tag team division.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see them, FTR, The Butcher.
Best friends.
Yeah, best friends. I mean, they have so many options, the Bucks, SCU. So it'll be interesting to see,
Not to mention the champions.
Transitional champions. That what you said?
No, I said the champions.
Not to mention the champions.
I thought you made up that name, the transitional champions.
Yeah, that's not a bad.
They should call them milk and beer. There you go.
Jesus.
Because one drinks milk and the other one drinks beer.
Yeah, but I'm excited for Fyter Fest. I think even though I didn't really like the show this week overall with AEW, there were some, high spots. But overall, I think I'm pretty excited for Fyter Fest over the next 2 weeks. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and can I just say that I love the psychology being shown with the Dark Order and Colt Cabana right now.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That little segment they did where he blurted out, "We're gonna go at SCU," and I like how Colt Cabana was like, "SCU." It's like automatically you're enrolled. You didn't even know. You're enrolled.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, you know, it I think that a big part of it is the fact that Colt is such a good actor. Just his you know, his facial expressions and reactions are priceless. Even when it's something like that he's been on a losing streak, he gets into this tag team match with Brody Lee, and then obviously he wins the match because of Brody Lee. Brody Lee doesn't get the pin. He lets Colt get the pin. So it's building this psychology, and I'm a fan.
Absolutely.
I actually like it. It's the most I've liked of Brody Lee so far since he's been here for me.
Yeah.
I haven't liked anything he's had, nothing against him, but with this angle that they have with Colt Cabana, I'm digging it.
So you guys like Bray Wyatt who can't talk?
That bears no hindrance to what we just talked about. If I could mute you, I'd mute you.
That is the character he is playing. He's playing Bray Wyatt, but he doesn't talk now.
He doesn't talk, not he can't. they've tweaked it. I mean, let's be real.
Let me ask you, Matt, was there any...
I love when I say something and then Michaels doesn't reply with some shitty ass comment.
Was there any?
Because then I know that I actually scored a point. Like, I'll take that. Because this is being recorded, so it's going to be on the internet forever.
There you go. Forever. The day that Matt Michaels shut the fuck up.
Oh, whoa, hold on.
Mute me. I'm getting muted.
Never happen.
I'm getting muted.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let me ask you, Matt Michaels, was there anything that stood out to you on that show, AEW?
No, I think my favorite part was me muting Beaver.
Beaver. Okay.
Beaver.
Oh, man. Well, I would say this. Someone need to do a better job with protecting Britt Baker, okay? Because apparently they, you know... She found a way to still get attacked with trash. She needs to go ahead and just close the top part of her enclosed acrylic setup she has there. But good stuff there. We're going to move over next to WWE SmackDown.
Are you ready?
Oh, tough fuck.
Thank you, Taker. Clap, 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 clap. Thank you, Taker. All right. King Lucky.
Ooh, all right. So I don't know what they're doing. I think the Taker thing.
I like how you started off. All right.
Finally admit it.
Yeah.
I mean, with this particular thing, I will say, yes, I do like the way that they, you know, sent Taker off. I don't think this will be the final send off. However, I think once you get fans and all that stuff back into the arena, which may be a year from now or whenever it is, you'll finally get that.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Hall of Fame.
He's not going to do it.
What do you mean?
He's not going to retire?
No, I don't think that you'll ever see him come out in front of fans again, ever.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Because that's not the type of person he is. He doesn't do that.
You know, I always did think about the night you mentioned that. I said, if he ever did go into the Hall of Fame, would he be one to come up and do a whole speech and everything?
I think so. I don't think
he doesn't even show up to the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's why I always wondered even years ago. Well, like, would he even do that?
Well, he was always protecting his gimmick during that time. But I think if he gets nominated for, not if, when he gets Hall of Fame, that he'll be there for it. Okay. I don't think, and maybe what you're saying is true. Maybe he won't come back for some big over the top celebration. But
he'll come from that crown jewel check.
Mm-hmm. Well, that $25 million check.
That's a whole other story there.
Well, let me ask you this. Because Baron Corbin went after Taker on SmackDown. That's what I meant, but I don't know what they're doing with this. What do you guys think is the long play there?
It wasn't. It was the end of the show. You guys ass kicked. It was entertaining. We all celebrated. I actually popped confetti instead of the 4th of July. I popped it in my house.
Speaking of Baron Corbin, too, some stories that have been making the rounds is that He was pitched a storyline with Matt Riddle, and he wasn't happy because he felt like Matt Riddle should beat some enhancement talent first before moving on to a program with him. What do you guys think about that? Because he, for a while, was the chosen one.
Who? Who was the chosen one?
Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin was the chosen one? What source is that? No, I don't. Never heard that.
So he never had a major push?
That's not what you said. You said he was the chosen one. Of what club, what membership? How was he chosen?
He wasn't Drew McIntyre.
That's
what I'm wondering.
He had a rocket strapped to his back. Anyway, whatever.
But I'm just being honest because I've never heard that ever in my life.
Yeah,
I'm being honest.
But the fact of the matter is it's cheap heat, dude.
Gotcha.
And he's the perfect person on that roster anyways to do it.
He is the best heel on that roster.
Yeah.
He's the best heel on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
And the payoff at the end of the show was amazing. I mean, think about it. Everybody whooped his ass. It was amazing.
Yeah. The reason he's the best heel is because he's a traditional heel. And
right. Exactly.
Yep.
So the last thing that I took away from the show, and I called it. You guys hate them when I say
this. All right. What was it?
The last thing I took away.
He earned himself a mute on that one.
I knew it.
I knew he was going to mute me. Anyway, let me finish my point before you mute me. Okay? I did call that Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman would have some kind of cinematic match. And it is going to happen with this swamp match that they're going to do. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think that there's so much that you can tell in that story between those two. You had him face Bray Wyatt. Now you can have him face, you know, the throwback and then the Fiend. You know, there's just so much that you can do with that because you really don't have a lot you can do with Braun right now. Even a nice little nugget would have been to have Bray show up at the last pay-per-view they had and just maybe on screen or something to that so they could have come back to that point. But I do like the fact that they're circling back on
Bray Wyatt and
Braun Strowman.
Hello.
The guy listens to himself all
year. There you go.
My phones are not on the show. Thank you.
But those were your phones.
I'm not watching the show, motherfuckers.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Because it takes so long to get out of a screen.
Right. Yeah.
Fine, and it took you. Oh, guys. That was like a magic trick. Hey, you distracted us.
Hey, you guys are number one in my book right there.
But you put two fingers up.
Yeah. You put two number ones up, too.
Okay. Oh. Can you blow on them real quick? Like, you know.
No. Sorry.
Joe Dirt.
Is that all you guys got for SmackDown? Come on now.
I would say that SmackDown was interesting. I was not excited because a lot of it was just hashing over Undertaker and they gave basically the Boneyard match. I would have liked to see more matches.
I thought you would be upset. I thought you would be upset with Nikki Cross, but I guess not.
No. You didn't finish.
Sorry.
I says, but the one highlight was what they're doing with Nikki Cross. Who's now going to face Bayley, which is interesting because I've always thought that Nikki Cross should always have. Well, she's already had those single opportunities, but I would say that's a better matchup for Bayley. Let's put it that way. I think.
So basically, that means that Becky Sasha is winning the belt from Asuka. Mm-hmm. And then Bayley is losing the belt to Nikki. So that to further along that storyline, now Sasha's got the title, but Bayley doesn't. How does that affect the friendship?
You know what? I dare I say that's some of the best smart fantasy booking I've ever heard.
Shit.
I'll be honest with you. That's brilliant. Yeah.
And guess what happens? They listen to the show and
it'll happen.
We'll probably see it.
You know what's scary? That y'all been saying that. And for the last 3 weeks, I actually watched the shows intently to see, like, maybe just let me play devil's advocate. Maybe they are listening to us. There's a lot of shit we say And it's starting to happen.
Apollo Crews still that U.S. champion. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Does WWE have all of our bank account routing and account numbers for that direct deposit, please?
Just King Lucky's, because his is on like straight feed to the WWE shop.
Basically.
I'm still waiting on a check for the time they put me on the New Day documentary.
Yeah.
And I had like a good 10, 15 seconds, I think.
What?
Yeah, I'm on there. 10, 15 seconds.
That's true.
Nice.
True story.
Watch them on the WWE Network.
That's right.
Actually, we have a friend who works for WWE, and he's the one that pointed it out to me initially before I even knew.
Ah.
Which was interesting.
Yes, he did. Beaver was his name. Oh. Okay.
So Boneyard match was great.
Yeah. That was if you haven't seen it the first
time. That was SmackDown.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
Basically.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess with that, Mr. King Lucky. Apparently there was a little UFC going on this weekend, man. I have the winners here. Tell me about it, man. How was the match? Looked like Maurice Greene won in his in round 3, 3 minutes and 44 seconds. Beat up on how you say that, Gian Vellante?
Yeah, man. That matchup right there was it was a battle of the behemoths. Mm-hmm. Those guys were swinging and going after it. And then Vellante clipped him and knocked him down, mm-hmm, with a huge punch. And then they kind of, took it to the ground and started going after it there. And then he just got hooked in a serious choke from the bottom, which it didn't even look like he got him in it. But, I mean, he was pretty much suffocating him, mm-hmm, which, you know, it was very cool to see the winner of that fight because of the fact that he needed that so bad. He was going to take and move his whole family out to Jackson Wink, which is one of the best MMA training facilities in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
But he got the win. Mm-hmm. He got a bonus. So it was a very cool story, you know, to see. And then in the co-main event, you, mm-hmm, had Platinum Mike Perry versus Mickey Gall.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought Mickey Gall was actually going to win this one because of his submissions. And, you know, he's just looked better. Mickey Gall, for most people that remember, was the person that beat CM Punk in his debut match.
Oh, okay.
And he's just gotten better and better.
But his record is only 6-3. I mean, that's 50%.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting better. You can show improvements in MMA, and definitely your record sometimes doesn't reflect it. You know, you can change camps.
Mm-hmm.
You can tighten up striking or wrestling or jiu-jitsu. But all indicators, you know, had him probably going over on Platinum Mike Perry, who caught a lot of flack going into this week with his girlfriend being his corner man. Mostly, guys will have, like, their training partners or their coach or things like that. He had his woman.
Does he train him?
No.
Oh, well, then why is he in the corner?
Well, you know, I think it had more so to do with COVID and stuff like that, you know, kind of keeping the circle small. It was a great strategy. I mean, he came out and, like, just beat the shit out of Mickey Gall for – 3 rounds. I mean, beating him to the punch in every which way. That match was really good. And then finally, the main event with Dustin Poirier and Dan Hooker, dude. Mm-hmm. That was another fight for the ages. If you haven't seen it, you can still go back and watch it on ESPN. But they went all 5 rounds. Some of the stuff that these guys hit each other with, you don't know how they survived. And it was just a war of attrition. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting hit with punches, kicks, combos, body shots. And, you know, most people would have probably been like, this is the greatest fight that they've seen. In fact, Dana White was posting some of the reactions that he got from people that traditionally don't watch MMA. Mm-hmm. But because this is on, they were watching, and they were just blown away. It was kind of like that Forrest Griffin moment with when the Ultimate Fighter started, and that brought the UFC to the mainstream. This match was incredible. I'd recommend anybody that's a fight fan to go back and watch it, but it was really good.
So. I saw on our feed you had a post of Fight Island, I think it was.
Yeah.
How's that coming together?
So Dana White posted a picture of Fight Island. It's up right now on Vegas Bad Boys MMA Instagram, and it looks really sweet. Mm-hmm. They've got this one part of the island sectioned off where they're flying everybody in, training facilities, chefs, the top-notch, testing, all that stuff's going down there. And the facility itself, like the octagon on the beach, looks picturesque. When you say Fight Island, that's what a lot of people were thinking. And it looks beautiful.
That's
so
what it is, yeah.
They've all got like four cards going on, mm-hmm. and kicking off next weekend. So if you're a fight fan, you know, check it out. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure you will cover it all. So make sure. Yeah. You follow us on the Vegas Bad Boy MMA IG page, and we'll keep you updated.
We're on Twitter now too, right? We're on Twitter.
We're on Twitter. We're on everything.
Look at us.
Yeah. And you know what, King Lucky? I will tell you this, man. Ever since you've been covering MMA, you're starting to get me a little excited. I used to watch a lot of mixed martial arts long time ago. K1, UFC when it first came out, kind of. Fell out of it. I think I'm gonna really start watching it. You still gonna cover it, but
especially since it's on ESPN
and it's free.
And it's free. It's a sport that you can watch and you can really get into it. You know, anytime somebody is fighting, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, in the streets, people will look, stop in their tracks and watch. And that has the same effect with the UFC. You watch two people slugging it out, and you're like, holy shit, what is this I'm watching? So the UFC, MMA in general, very exciting to watch. And I'm happy to say I've been watching it for 20 years, and it just keeps getting better.
Let me ask you this one last question about UFC. Do you find that they're doing a better job with having – not having an audience compared to like WWE not having an audience? Does it when you compare?
Oh, that's ridiculous, dude. Come on.
Matt Michaels, this is for King Lucky.
But it makes no sense, man. They actually fight, you know, whereas the WWE wrestling, you need that audience there as motivation, as reaction. Like we've been saying that for weeks. If you listen to, you know, everyone else.
Well, I don't listen to the show. Go King Lucky. Well,
it actually is true.
So here's the thing: both audiences thrive, or both sports,
sure,
entertainment products thrive off of the audience. I think with right. The WWE, they need it more, right?
Yeah.
The UFC, you can go in there, you can tune everything out. And you can just solely listen to your coaches, and without the audience, you have the opportunity to now hear what the other corner is saying without all the crowd noise, so you can read the tales of the strikes and things like that a little bit better. So they've done this back when they've done the Ultimate Fighter, where there was very limited amount of people there. So I don't think they're affected at all.
Well, also, too, it makes more sense if you look in a fighting capacity, even where if you go back to the days of bare knuckle, it's always been a smaller crowd. And I think that's part of the allure to, you know, mixed martial arts, because comparative to like wrestling, you know, as we see, I mean, because I prefer to watch UFC mixed martial arts in a cage versus like sometimes the boxing, because the boxing is just a big grandiose thing. To me, it's not as intimate.
Okay. Mm. Well, there you go. Matt Michaels.
Why when I say something, y'all be like, what the fuck?
You just got intimate, man. I'm sorry.
Intimate setting. An intimate setting means smaller. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm using words.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, look, fellas, it's getting down to our final thoughts of the show. And let's see who I'm going to go with. Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. All right. That's you, Sin City. What final thoughts do you have for us?
Well, first things first, thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing.
Yes.
Checking us out on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, every single possible social media platform. We do this show for you. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to hang out with us.
Yes.
Also I'd like to give a special shout out to the Storm and Mormon.
Yes.
Our guy up in Utah. We definitely appreciate all that he's doing for us, and just had to give him a shout out. So, last but not least, remember, obviously we're just coming out of quarantine, so you probably have a little bit of fluff on you. Maybe you need to hit the gym. Maybe you need to do any of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas Bad Boys are now being sponsored by Rep Sports, so they've got a full lineup of pre-workout, weight loss, things that will help you to build muscle, and just general health and wellness. And their product line is extensive. They got energy drinks. They even have protein popcorn. Mm. So that's pretty awesome. So go there, Rep Sports, REPPsports.com, and put in our coupon code. You put in coupon code Vegas at checkout, and you're going to save 15% off of your order.
Nice.
So REPPsports.com, coupon code Vegas.
All right. King Lucky.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening, subscribing. Continue to review us if you really like the show. I will also say that check out our Store Frontier page, which has the mask. You know, in a lot of places now, it's going to become mandatory, like it is in Nevada, to wear your mask. Be considerate to other human beings and wear your mask.
Thank you.
You can get ours. You can get, at Store Frontier, but you can get so many cool designs there. And thank you guys for supporting.
Absolutely.
What happened to Simon there for a second? he disappeared. Like, he's saying something serious, and I'm like laughing because all of a sudden you're gone, and then all of a sudden you're back to life.
We didn't know Simon actually deals with magic on the side, so he just made himself disappear and reappear. Yeah, and with that, Simon Street, what final word you got for us, magician?
Magic is beautiful. Magic is great. Mm-hmm. But I just want to thank everybody who was in the Facebook chat.
Mm-hmm.
They get recognized real quick. Quickly go down. Jade, Kendall Stone, thank mm-hmm. you. Sam, thank you. George, thank you for the questions. Shant, as usual, thank you for tuning in. Cody, thank you. Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, thank you for tuning in for us. We love the support. And everybody else, and Lisa, the beautiful Lisa. We don't know how he pulled you. And also, too.
Oh, my Lisa?
Yeah, this is
exactly. That's what I said. Oh. But on a serious note, thank you so much for tuning into the stream and making comments and stuff like that. We appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. We got to leave the last word for the man of the hour. Matt Michaels, that's you.
Magic is beautiful. Magic is great. We've been doing this shit since about 8. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
All right. With that, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.